Would you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts on this Pentecost Sunday prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, today is Pentecost Sunday. This is the third most sacred day for the church, behind, of course, Easter, number one, Christmas, number two, Pentecost, number three. It's a day when the church hears again the story of how the Holy Spirit descended upon the first disciples in the upper room, descended upon men who were cowering behind a locked door. They were in a space that was darkened by fear, but God broke through. The Spirit fell upon the disciples, filled their minds and hearts. Flaming tongues appeared over their heads, and the newly emboldened, they unlocked the door, flung the door open, and hit the streets to share the gospel, the good news of Christ crucified and risen, and an invitation to all to accept Christ and to join the newly launched Jesus movement. Pentecost is the birthday of the church. And this heaven to earth divine breakthrough happened on a Jewish feast day, Pentecost. Before Pentecost became a sacred day for the church, it was a sacred day for Jews. It is a sacred day for Jews. Over the years of hearing this story, over the years, when you notice that the pyramid's red, the stoles are red, there's one fact that's not, you know, usually we don't reflect upon, that Pentecost wasn't just an ordinary day. This day of God breaking through, God getting involved, the launch of the Jesus movement happened on a Jewish feast day, Pentecost. Well, that immediately begs the question, why this day on the calendar for the emboldening of the disciples? Why during this particular Jewish feast did God choose to literally give birth to the church? Why this day on the calendar? Well, the Jewish festival of Pentecost was the second most important agricultural holiday on the Jewish calendar. Pentecost was a Thanksgiving holiday. No turkey, no pumpkin pie, no lion's football. But if you want to understand what the Jewish Pentecost feast was about, bring out the cornucopia filled with first fruits. The cornucopia is a perfect symbol to help us understand what this sacred day was about and the rituals that accompanied it. Pentecost goes by a variety of names throughout the Old Testament. It's called the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Latter First Fruits. This was a Thanksgiving holiday celebrating the harvest of summer wheat. It was a joyous day, much like our Thanksgiving is a joyous day closer to home. Some more fun facts about this Jewish holiday, Pentecost. Pentecost was one of the three festivals that required mandatory attendance by Jewish males in the city of Jerusalem. Attendance was mandatory for Pentecost. Sounds a lot like our Thanksgiving, doesn't it? You just have to load that minivan for the trip over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go for our Thanksgiving. That's a mandatory attendance deal, like Pentecost. Pentecost was a holiday with some special food to be tasted and savored. Cheese. Cheese was on the menu for the Jewish feast of Pentecost. Cheese-type cakes and cheese blintzes were a reminder that when God promised his chosen ones a land. It would be a land flowing with milk and honey. No turkey like our American Thanksgiving. But think of Aunt Lois's cheesy green bean casserole. You get a taste of what Pentecost was about. Finally, one slight difference between our American Thanksgiving and Jewish Pentecost. We know for certain every year that Thanksgiving always falls on the same day on the calendar, fourth Thursday of November. The Jewish calendar, sacred calendar, however, is a lunar calendar. It follows the cycle of the moon. So Pentecost was to be celebrated 50 days after the Jewish Passover. And in this story from Acts, Jews then were gathered 50 days after the resurrection of our Messiah to thank God and celebrate the summer wheat harvest, the latter first fruits. Interesting facts. Getting a little Wikipedia from the pulpit today. But the question remains, why did the triune God choose this particular day to enter into this world in such dramatic and bold fashion? Why did God rush like the wind into the hearts and minds of the first disciples of Jesus on this particular day, transforming them from cowering cowards and empowering them to be preachers, to share Jesus, and to invite people into a new movement called church? Why this Sunday? It was for the harvest. God sent his Spirit so followers of Jesus would join the Holy Spirit in the work of harvesting. The Spirit sending, the Spirit's filling the disciples, emboldening them. It was for the harvest. What does the harvest look like? Well, we see it crystal clear at the end of Acts 2. The freshly emboldened disciples like Peter, they hit the street. Peter preaches the crucified and risen Jesus. And then all of them invite others to join this new movement of Jesus. And then the harvest comes on this Sunday 2,000 years ago. The fruit of God's Spirit working through Peter and the others. 3,000 on this Sunday. 3,000 of Jerusalem's pilgrims and residents were saved and were baptized. It became the foundation of the church. This is the harvest that God cares about. God the Father and God the Son chose to send on this Sunday God the Holy Spirit, not on a typical Thursday. The Spirit broke through, broke in, got involved when everyone in town was focused on what? Harvest. By choosing this particular day, this particular feast, the triune God revealed what is most important to his heart. Not a harvest of wheat, but a harvest of people hearing about Jesus, making commitment to follow Jesus, being baptized in the name of Jesus, and then finding their place in the field to join the harvest. Said another way, the Holy Spirit emboldened the disciples so that they could participate with the Holy Spirit in the enlivening of people through Jesus Christ. That was the purpose for the Spirit sending 2,000 years ago. And that is the purpose why God chose to give himself in such dramatic form to you when you were baptized. It's for the harvest. As you know, the work of harvesting has drastically changed over 2,000 years. And I'm not talking metaphorically, I'm talking, you know, practically. Harvesting has changed over 2,000 years. And on this day, 2,000 years ago, harvesting looked like this. A fisherman turned harvester had the guts to get on the street to preach Jesus. And then the other 11, waist deep in baptismal waters, brought in the first fruits of this new spiritual revival. But that begs the question, what does harvesting look like today for the church? For those disciples like you and me who have been given that same Holy Spirit? What does it look like for our church to join the harvest that God cares about? Well, the other day I heard about one harvesting technique by one of our Epworth realtors. His name's Jeff Rostai. And he approaches his vocation, hopefully like all of us approach our vocation, with a mind toward the spiritual. He's thinking about the harvest and his role in the harvest. Well, as a realtor, one of the benefits of being a realtor is that you're brought into relationship with new people moving to our great city. And in the midst of his work, helping a new person or family find their new abode, their new home, Jeff is concerned about their spiritual home. And he talks about his. He talks about Epworth. How he meets Jesus here, how he grows in his faith, how this church makes a difference in his life and in the life of his family. He talks about this being a community where you are loved, accepted, and included, and you are supported, come hell or high water. So to that end, Jeff finds a way to naturally talk about his spiritual home. He doesn't take out his Bible and beat someone over the head. He does not preach Peter's Pentecost sermon. But he talks about why God and why this place and people matter. Sometimes, if they're willing, between these house calls, he actually brings them here during the week, lets them see the place. Not only see this magnificent space, but he talks about what happens here, what God does here. Now, does every family he shares his faith and his church with, on their first Sunday, do all of them come running here for the first Sunday? Do all of them come running to the baptismal font? No. Fruitfulness sometimes is planting seeds. Fruitfulness is sometimes harvesting. Fruitfulness is sometimes participating in growth after the harvest. Holy Spirit bringing people to Jesus, that's all the Spirit's work. What God concerns himself with is our obedience and our willingness to risk, to join the movement of harvest. That's all God requires. The results are up to God, not us. What might harvesting look like for you? I just saw it a moment ago. I just saw the Sutherlands at the door greeting people. And I, you know, like I say every Sunday to whoever's greeting that door, wow, we got the A team up here greeting at the door today. Sutherland said to me, well, we didn't see anybody here. So they stepped in to welcome new people into this place. That's harvesting. When you find a new family sitting in your pew, what does harvesting require at that moment? Is it a gentle reminder, excuse me, but you are sitting in my pew? Is that harvesting? It's happened. It has happened here. God forgive this church that's happened here. What's harvesting look like in that moment? Hi, I'm Doug, and I am so glad. I'm so glad that you've joined me here today, joined us at Epworth Church. That's harvesting. That's finding your place in the field. What does harvesting look like? Well, it can simply be the changing of the way that we gossip. If you've been a churchgoer long enough, you know that we in the church know something about gossip. Amen? Oh, really? Come on. Amen. Yeah, we know something about gossip. Unless you think I'm preaching at you, I'm preaching to myself. Believe me, I can be the biggest of gossipers. Gossip is a sticky sin, harder to get rid of than bubble gum in your hair. Why not allow the Holy Spirit to transform your gossip and mine? Why not find ways naturally to share the ways that you find God, experience God in this place? If you hear a really good sermon, and I know it's a rarity around here, but if you hear a word of maybe comfort that you needed to hear, or yes, sometimes church, a word that steps on your toes but launches you out of your complacency. Why don't you share that on social media? People who wonder, should I find a spiritual home? Do my kids or grandkids need instruction? And you say, you know what? I felt God today. If there is something that unites all of us in this community, no matter denomination, church, or none, every one of us want an experience of the divine. Every one of us longs for an epiphany. When you have an epiphany, why don't you just share it in a non-threatening way? If you see your church serving in the community, why not take a picture with people's permission and post it and say, I'm really excited because my church cares for this city. And we really want this city to reflect the values of the kingdom of God. Why don't you just share that? If you're not a social media person, why don't you share a bit with your barber or hairdresser, your neighbor, your unchurched grandchild? The list goes on. Holy gossip, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform one of our human frailties into a vehicle for the gospel is a way that we show we care about what God cares about, the harvest. And we're willing to roll up our sleeves, understand that's why we were given the Holy Spirit, and participate in the harvest. The simplest way for you would be to align our hearts with God's heart on this matter of harvest is simply invite someone you know and care about to your church. Harvesting techniques, of course, have changed radically over 2,000 years, but there is one timeless, sure method, the best method to share Jesus and to invite others to join the movement and the harvest. And that is a personal invitation. Personal invitations work. Let me share with you two statistics. Bad news first. And I know we can do better than this. According to Dr. Tom Rainer in his book, The Unchurched Next Door, 98% of American churchgoers, 98% do not extend one invitation to their church in a given year. Epworth, I know we can do better than that. And now, here's the encouraging stat. Rainer, after his research, has discovered that 82% of unchurched people are likely to attend if they're simply invited personally. God's heart, God's concern is the harvest. Is it your concern? Is it my concern? Over your years of being a follower of Jesus, some of us are years of being attached to this congregation, Have you ever simply invited someone to join you for church? Now, I know that fear is a concern, certainly. So let me give you a word of encouragement. As you think about joining the harvest, and as you pray about who God may be leading you to invite, the Holy Spirit gave Peter the right words at the right time when he busted out of that locked room to preach his Pentecost sermon on the street. That same Holy Spirit will give you the right words not to preach a sermon, but to simply extend a natural invitation. Your invitation to an unchurched friend, relative, associate, or neighbor may be this simple. Come and see. Come and see how God is working through a people called Epworth United Methodist Church. In the words of that great African-American spiritual, let not this harvest pass us by. Let not this harvest pass us by. Find your place in the field. Align your heart with God's heart for the harvest. And know that you received in your baptism the very same Spirit that rushed into the lives of 12. And God, the Holy Spirit, used those 12 to harvest 3,000 people on the first day the church was born. That same Holy Spirit will give you all that you need, including the right words. All for the harvest. Would you pray with me? Oh God, three in one and one in three, we celebrate today your outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church for the work of harvesting. Come, Holy Spirit, embolden each one of us to find our place in the field and our voice for the harvest. Open our mouths so that we may seek to invite others to join us in a shared spiritual journey through this, in this place, and alongside these people. Let us participate in the miracle of enlivening others as they find Jesus with us here. And in the name of Jesus, empowered by the Spirit, find their own way to share in the work of the harvest. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who with the Father sent forth the Holy Spirit. And all God's Pentecost people say, Amen.